Nothing is impossible with him. For years, I've prayed for people when I'm driving or that I pass by that are in wheelchairs or that you can tell have an infirmity. Because I believe with all my heart that when I pray for them, something is going to happen. And we need to start seeing ourselves not as the one who is in need, but the one that need meter is flowing through. So when you pass people, you don't have to make a big show. Thank you, Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, they are healed. Whatever that infirmity is, I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I loose the power of God. Expect to see things change. Expect to see results. When someone brings you a prayer request, we can agree, but you pray for them first. You agree. You have power. If you've been in this church for any amount of time, you know the authority that you have as a believer. Amen? Amen. That's just a little extra today. As we go into our tithes and offerings, I really felt like this is such an incredible message and so timely right now. Therefore, do not worry. Let's say it together. Therefore, do not worry. One more time. Therefore, do not worry. But Shelley, have you seen the news? Do you know what's going on? But Shelley, have you been to the grocery store lately? Have you seen the prices increasing? Have you been to the gas station lately? Do you know that this is? You haven't seen what's going on in my family. Therefore, do not worry. But you don't know. I have these things that are coming. Therefore, do not worry. But I'm going to do my taxes, and I just know. Therefore, do not worry. But there's this thing that's been going on in our family. Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Don't let the things on the outside affect what's going on the inside of you. Amen? And we've been studying the last couple weeks. Verse 25 says, I tell you, never be worried about your life. For all, does that say all? All that you need. Well, I think that pretty much covers all, everything. Amen? All that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Verse 26, consider the birds. So we talked about the birds. Do you think they even worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which of you, by worrying, can add anything to your life? You can't. Verse 28, and why do you worry about your clothing? Look at all the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil. So first he gave us the birds to look at, because birds can't plant or harvest or do anything except go out and get what they need for that day. And yet the Lord provides for them on a daily basis. So he's saying to us, I will provide for you on a daily basis. But I love the Lord, because he knows that we categorize things sometimes. Well, the Lord will give me food to eat, but what about clothes to wear? And in reality, what he's saying is he's talking about the everyday needs that you have. So maybe it's clothes to wear, or clothes for your kids to wear, or shoes that are needing, or this in your house that needs to be fixed, or this in your car that needs to... He's talking about the everyday things that happen in your life. And he gives us things to look at as an illustration. And he says, look at the flowers. In this case, he's saying, look at the lilies or the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work and they don't toil. They can't put on any splendor. They are just what he created them to be. And he created them beautiful. Say beautiful. I was raised in an era where they said that pastors' families needed to be poor. You went to secondhand stores to get your clothes because you never had enough. You could always mark a pastor's family because nothing was new. They was always trying to make something amazing out of nothing. In fact, I can remember when I first felt the Lord put a calling on my life that that's what I was planning ahead for. How creative can I be to make something out of nothing? But can I tell you something? Beautiful is not secondhand. Beautiful. You don't see any flowers out there that are wearing somebody else's petals. I'm just being blunt today. He gives them each their own beautiful things. It is okay to have beautiful things. Say beautiful. Beautiful things. God wants to provide for you, not just average, ordinary. He wants to provide beautiful things for you. I can't tell you how many times when I got over the fact that we didn't have to be poor as pastors, that the Lord would bring me to a store just when they were putting things on like 90% off. And I'd buy clothes for the next 2 years for my kids at 90% off. Not secondhand, brand new. Because God wants us to have beautiful things. Somebody say amen in this place. Because you know what that means when you say amen? It means so be it. You're saying, I want that in my life. But you see, tradition has taught us that's wrong. Not, you don't need beautiful things. No, in fact, in Deuteronomy, he says he wants to give you homes filled with beautiful things that you don't even put there, that are just already there for you. And that's the Old Testament. How much more in the New Testament and the New Covenant? We have to stop living under tradition and start living based on the Word. Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry. If there's a need in your life, go talk to your heavenly dad. Father, I got a bill today. It's bigger than what I've got in my account, so I thank you that you're going to provide for this. Father, I have children that are growing and they need new shoes. So I thank you, Father, for providing for them. The other day, Lane was getting ready for baseball. And a lot of you know that baseball cleats can be very uncomfortable. There's just no getting around it. They just are. So a couple of Lane's baseball buddies told him about a brand of shoes that's a little more on the expensive side. But I had saved, had the money ready. And we went to the store and they had the shoes for him to try on, but they had them in blue. And those of you who know Washougal, it's black and orange. So blue doesn't go in the mix. And I was like, let's look around a little bit more. He was hoping for black, you know? And so we tried on, got his size. I said, let's go home and let's do some research and see if we can find you some black ones. Same shoe that we saw in the store. We go online, and that same exact shoe in the black color he wanted was 60% off of the original price that we could have bought the blue ones for. 60% off. Because therefore, do not worry. When you have a need, you go talk to your dad and you explain to him what the need is, although he already knows, but you share your heart and he will provide you with beautiful things. Beautiful things. Most of you know the story of our van. I still love my van. We're getting close to needing a new one, but I still love my van. I prayed for years for that van. I was taking my old van in to get serviced, looked out in front and saw this new van, and something in my heart just leapt. I had been praying for a newer van than we had, but I had no idea that it would be so much newer than what we used to have. And talked to the dealer, and I knew prices, and he quoted the price, and I'm like, what? Like, right off the bat, it was like $4,000 less than everything we'd been looking at. What? I'm like, okay, well, I think I'm going to bring my husband back. Can you put a little tag on that that says save? Beautiful things. God has beautiful things in store for you. Say it with me. Beautiful things. So I bring Steve back, and we really liked it, and the guy says, you know, I got to tell you something about the price. And I was like, I knew it was coming because I knew what they were worth. And he's like, I kind of quoted you the price that we bought it for, or like the base price. He said, it's actually worth this much over here. I looked at him, I said, but you said it was this. He said, you're right, and I got permission to give you what I quoted you. Beautiful things. Say beautiful things. It even had, you know, a little DVD player and four headphones for each of my four kids, and they were Bose. I mean, it was just a beautiful van that has been such a blessing to us. God has beautiful things exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond all that you could ask or hope or imagine. We need to stop being afraid of the beautiful things that God has in store for us. It doesn't mean that they necessarily are expensive, because we serve a good God. And when you're a tither, a giver, he makes things go beyond. I can't tell you how many shirts like this that I've gotten at Macy's in the really expensive section on clearance for $4 and, you know, 87 cents or whatever. So he is good about making deals too. But he wants us to have beautiful things. And we'll learn more about that next week when we talk about how he compares it to Solomon. For those of you who don't know who Solomon is, one of the most wealthy kings that ever lived. So next week we're going to compare the flowers to Solomon. So you need to be thinking big. Stretch your thinking. If there's something in your finances that is not correct or is not lining up with the Word of God, or you get something unexpected, or you have a need, go talk to your Heavenly Father, because this is what he said to you. Therefore, do not worry. So we put all anxiety aside and we rest in the knowledge he will provide. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for this timely word. I know that you gave it for our tithes and offerings, but God, it goes so far beyond that. Every time the enemy tries to bring worry or fear or anxiety, whether from current events or things in our lives, I pray that this phrase would resonate in people's hearts and minds. Therefore, do not worry. That we wouldn't waste 1 minute, 1 second, Father, of our lives worrying about something that we cannot change in the natural. But we would rest in the knowledge that you will provide. You will provide whatever the need is, Father. But especially for our finances today, Father, I just thank you for continuing to help us to go beyond what we ever dreamed possible in our finances, Lord. That you would stretch our thinking, stretch our hearts, stretch our minds to be ready to handle the finances you're going to place in our hands in these latter days. That we'll be blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to give to every good work. We will be blessed with excess so that we can keep on giving and giving and giving and be just like our Heavenly Father. That when people look at us, they're like, man, you're just like the Lord. You just keep on giving and giving and giving. We just praise you, Lord, today that as we learn not to worry and yet to rest in you, that we're going to reach that place, Father, where the finances are going to flow so heavily through us, Father, we're not just going to change our lives. We're not just going to change our families' lives. We're not just going to change our city's lives. We're not just going to change our state's lives. We're not just going to change the United States, but the world, Father, as we move things through you. We just praise you and we thank you, Father, today. Bless every seed that's sown and bless the sower in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Thank you for that amazing offering teaching. Somebody say, I ain't worried. I'm in faith. Is it possible to be in faith and in worry at the same time? Somebody say no. You know who should be worried right now? The devil. The devil is worried. You know who else is worried? The left-wing extreme liberals. Because they're still coming after conservatives and trying to shut them up because they know it's coming. And they're not our enemies either, right? Is it too late for anybody to get saved on this planet if they're still breathing? Somebody say no. Right, so we continue to pray and to press and believe God. Amen. I think we can, are we dismissing kids today? All right, let's dismiss the kids. We love you, kids. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being excited and just engaged. Amen. God is so good. Well, let's pray over today's message. We're going to, Lacey, I think we'll show that video kind of right off the bat, so maybe we can get that ready. I've got a video clip to show you as we start out today. Thank you, guys. Yeah, we'll set that up. But Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Hallelujah, what your spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for the wonderful things that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. And as we get started, we're continuing on our core values flow and our foundation text for the year. You know, the theme for our year is kingdom culture, the culture of the kingdom of God. That's what we're believing God for when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? One of our foundation texts is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? And I've been one of the broadcasts that we watch pretty regularly is Flashpoint on the Victory Network, and there was one portion here that I wanted to show you of Pastor Lance Wanow, and he's at a Mario Murillo crusade here. Some of you might have seen this. Gene Bailey on the left, and that's Mario. You see the tent that they're in? You have a piece of that. We've sowed into that. Mario Murillo sent us, your church, a personal thank you, autographed, and he is doing a crusade there, a tent meeting in, looks like they have the same lights we do here too, isn't that cool? They're doing a tent meeting in California there, but Lance is sharing something very relevant to what we're talking about today, so let's go ahead and see if that... Yeah, just go ahead.
All right, so. All right, so now, so here's the thing. We have to get this down because this tent meeting is part of the populist movement. See, this is, in my opinion, what we call a statesman evangelist. These are the evangelists that can reach hold to the prophetic word for where the nation is at, call out the corruption and the sins that are destroying the nation, and keep it Jesus focused and bring the population to the cross. Those that are coming in waving flags because they're concerned about politics will take the flag, is what Billy Graham did, and you'll take the flag and lead them to the cross. That's why you don't want anyone to rob us of this movement, accusing us of being Christian nationalists and blah, blah, blah. The devil will try to slander it to make us afraid to bring Jesus in possession of that flag.
Amen.
So, we have to understand how this works. A lot of us, and listen, I got a whole chapter out of brilliant theologians. They don't understand it. So, I know you're going to get it right now. And here's what we need to learn. America won't change because of a move of God that gets more Christians in the population. Because we already outnumber the radical left 10 to 1. So, so in other words, I used to think this, and I started... And I was really—it made me change my theology when I researched and found out 3% of the population, roughly 3 to 4% of the population, are radical leftist elites. 30% of the population are evangelical born-again Christians that are inclined to go towards Pentecostal language. I mean, we're really out there. 30% against 3%, but they neutralize the church because they're also in religion. They've changed the definition of marriage, so they've taken over family. They've totally taken over academia, so the education institutions are teaching leftist theology or leftist ideology and silencing conservatives. They're controlling government right now. They've taken over legacy media, Hollywood, entertainment, and arts, and now they've got Wall Street. This is 3%, 30% of the population is Christian. How is it that 30% are dominated by 3%? They have a worldview for bringing their kingdom here now. We're told to pray thy kingdom come, but we put it off to the second coming.
There it is.
We put it off. They are organized and we are not. So God says, I'm going to send you a revival, and we're praying for revival. And as we pray for revival, we think, well, watch what happens. That 30 will become 50%. It doesn't matter, because the guards in the prison control what goes on with the inmates. You could have 75%. And if they control those high places, you still are in suppression, because that's the story of history. So it's not just in having more. We certainly want souls. In eternity, that's the most important thing. And this is, Mario, where a lot of people get confused. Is it the kingdom more important? Is it Jesus more important? Is it souls more important? Of course, this isn't either or. It's both and. We want souls and we want nations. Jesus was promised nations for his inheritance, not just churches. So the revival, which is always called a grassroots revival. You ever hear Ted, this grassroots revival? You know why? Because in the awakening that happened in the United States in the 1700s, it was pockets of the country that were awakened by George Whitefield, this kind of anointing. Just like pockets of America awakened with Billy Graham after World War II, just like this man's anointing. That revival is hitting us now, because it's galvanizing the population so that we could start to hit these gates of influence on the top of culture. When revival hits leaders who stop excusing the state of the nation and trying to say, well, what do you expect? The Antichrist is going to rise and we're going to get out of here anyway, like a lot of people in California do who don't get involved with changing the state. They resign because they think the Antichrist is coming and we're all going to go to heaven anyway. The reality is, when you get leaders, they'll hear the call to go to the top of the mountain. Go up there. I don't care if you're not educated. I don't care if you don't have any money. You go where I send you to go. When the revival starts moving and changing these mountains, hitting government, hitting media, hitting business, that's called a reformation.
Amen.
That's awesome.
That's a reformation. And in history, when they look back on it, Gene Bailey, and they look at the chroniclers of history, which is what you are, a revivalist and a media observer, they call this process a great awakening. An awakening is when a revival impacts a country to the point where it reforms and reshapes its institutions. This is where Mario is taking the movement.
For locating that in about 5 minutes today when I told you about it. Amen. Somebody say glory to God, right? Isn't it great to see it, right? To see the process, right? And it's so critical in this time that we're in that we're not, you know, it would be easy to say, yeah, this is all prophecy and, you know, the Antichrist is coming and the rapture's coming, which is all true. Hallelujah. But while the church is on the planet, we're to be contending in faith, right? To be contending for God's kingdom to come, God's will to be done now on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, it's physically coming to the planet, right? But there is a spiritual transformation that can happen if we press in for it in our own lives, in our school systems, in our local government, in our nation. Not just allowing the devil to run all over people's lives. No, we're here to run him out of town. That's why we like movies like Star Wars, John Wayne movies, Silverado's one of my favorite cowboy movies, where the four guys get together and there's an evil sheriff that's running the whole town of Silverado, and they get together and run him out. See, we're not here to make agreements with the devil. I love how there's people out there that are like, no, we all just need to come back to the middle. This extreme left and extreme right, we need to come back to the middle. Can you imagine somebody sitting down with Jesus and Satan? Can we just come to the middle? There is no middle ground anymore. Where is the middle ground between a transgender doctrine and one man and one woman? There is no middle ground. Amen, right? Middle ground means the enemy's taking ground. And we're not having it. We're not having it in our church. We're not having it in our lives, in our homes, right? We're continuing to press and believe God. But I loved that clip. That broadcast is very helpful, right? Because a lot of the media is just not telling the truth. Amen. So we need to find places like Flashpoint to just plug into. And it's not on all day long. That broadcast is twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can watch it on demand. They've got Victory News. It's on Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock and 2 o'clock our time. But it's just good to be informed, but also be on God's team, right? Amen. Glory to God. But we're going to continue this message on our core values. And today's core value I want to look at is that we put God's word first. Somebody say, we put God's word first. Amen. And that's the kind of leadership we're looking for. That's why I love Brother Lance saying, hey, no matter what your education level, no matter what qualifications you think you have or don't have, if the Spirit of God is leading you to do something, go do it. What state was that where the trucker went and won a Congress or Senate spot? Did you hear this over last year? It was like somewhere on the East Coast, like Pennsylvania or something like that. A trucker won either a Senate or Congress position, just ran and won against the long-standing rich Democrat. Right? Amen. So just be sensitive to what the Lord would have you to do if it's praying. And I believe just being in church is huge, right? Being a believer, participating. What are we doing? You know, it feels like there's just a few of us in this building, but the word says where two or more are gathered together, Jesus is there, right? Like he was talking about little pockets of resistance of the devil makes a big difference, right? Somebody say, we're making a difference right now. And I appreciate you. I mean, it's been uncomfortable coming and wearing masks and this kind of stuff. And we're supportive of our leadership biblically, you know, to do what we're asked to do. But a lot of people haven't come back to church because, well, I don't want to wear a mask, right? And that's kind of on them. Really, right? But you've persevered, you kept at it, and praise God, things are changing there too, right? So, and I believe this is all just symbolic of the work the Lord is doing overall, right? But let's talk about a little bit about putting God's word first in our lives, and this being one of the core values of our church, of your church. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 is the Bible verse that in the Amplified Classic. Can we turn the lights up just a little bit there, Lane? Just a little bit brighter so people can see their notes, including myself. Thank you very much. Ah, great. Thank you. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, Amplified Classic says it this way, and you shall love the Lord your God. Man, make no mistake about it. This is a love thing, right? It's not about do's and don'ts and this and that. It's about loving God. Loving God, loving one another, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart, and with all your entire being, and with all your might. And these words, somebody say these words, right? These words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Somebody say, God's word is first in my life. You know, this past week we broke out the old movie Fiddler on the Roof. That's a great movie, right? And the father, what's his name? The dad? Somebody hollered if you know it. Octavia? Reptavia? He was so great. And he's always talking to God. They have this ongoing communication, which is just a precious thing, you know? But the funny thing about him is he's in a lot of the, you know, the Jewish faith, the Judaism, in other, you know, faiths too, and even in the Word of Faith and Christianity, things can become more about tradition than the truth. And the whole movie is about him kind of gradually letting go of his traditions because of the love that he has for his daughters and the young men they eventually marry, you know. And he's constantly talking about the good book says, like it says in the good book. Well, he is never right once in anything that he says, right? He just tradition is what he's hearing, right? And the rabbi corrects him, you know, it gets Moses and David confused and Noah, and he's, well, the good book says. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. But the love that he has for God in this open communication, even though he's thinking God is doing all these, you know, challenges that he has in his life, is his God has put it on him. And his people, the Jewish people, right? He's like, I know you say we are your chosen ones, but for once, can you choose someone else? Right? So he had a kind of a misunderstanding of the Word of God, and a lot of that was because in traditional Judaism they reject the true Messiah, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a missing piece there, right? But for those who have accepted Jesus as the Messiah, right? He is the Word in the flesh. Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. Amen? In John chapter 1, in fact, when I was preparing these notes, I was going to John chapter 1, and the Lord this morning said, no, I want you to take it this way. But John chapter 1 is a good... Read the good book, John chapter 1, right? The Word became flesh. But Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112 in the Message translation say this. And I was thinking of the verse, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? And I have hidden your word in my heart so I won't sin against you. This is that same section of Scripture, but in the Message translation. It says this, by your words... I can see where I'm going. Amen. So if I'm not in God's word, I'm blind. Right? To the path of life. I don't see it. And the devil is called he is the one that has blinded the world. Right? A lot of people that just are so adamantly opposed to Christianity and the Bible is because they have been blinded by the spirit of this world, the god of this world, the devil, right? So that's a good way to pray for those people. Lord, open their eyes. We bind that blindness off their life and just open their eyes and show them. I think last week we talked about how Saul became Paul. He had an experience with Jesus. He had a face-to-face, a one-to-one. And his first question was, who are you, Lord? You're the one they're talking about? Well, maybe I should think about this a little more. And he had that moment where he got knocked off his high horse, right? He's going in to persecute the church. And he had a choice at that moment. Jesus was like, I'm done with this. Right? He saw him and he had a choice to make. Which way are we going here? You coming with me or... I believe his life was about to end, if not. Because Jesus was done with this persecution of his body at that point, right? So just like that, people that we're believing God for, Jesus could reveal himself to them and show them, hallelujah, truth beyond the tradition of their beliefs. And we need to be people that watch out for our own religious traditions. and just come back to God's word. We put God's word first. Well, that's not what grandma did and grandpa said and my denomination always would do this or that. Well, no, we need to be watching God's word and looking at God's word at everything we hear and that we believe, right? By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. So see, it's a commitment. I love how it gets into that, the depth of, you know what, I'm committed and I'm never turning back. That's a good thing to say, to remind the devil of regularly. Yeah, I hear you knocking, but I'm committed to the word of God and I'm never turning back. Never. Never includes today, right? Everything's falling apart on me. I hear this even on behalf of our nation right now, right? I could hear our nation saying this. If nations could talk, our nation knows how she was founded, what principles she was founded on. And yet it says right here, everything's falling apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. Amen? Don't you know the world is crying out right now for strong leadership? The devil, just in terms of our own country, had such a crazy strategy that he pushed through, where in one of the most sensitive times that I can remember, where strong leadership is needed, weak, inadequate, right? Leadership is in place in many cases, right? That's why we pray. That's why, right? And keep believing and voting and pressing and believing God, hallelujah, and watching broadcasts like Flashpoint, amen. It's encouraging, right? And informative. Adorn me with your finest sayings. God, teach me your holy rules. My life, you know. Yesterday, I was in a pest control training all day long. And I've been in pest control since like 04. If you've been doing something for a number of years, you can start feeling like you know it all. Well, you don't. And so we're in school all day long, listening to teaching. One professor was from University of Kansas talking about spiders. Well, I know my spiders. No, I don't. I help control spiders, but there's 3,500 species of spiders across the nation. And a handful that have a bite you don't want. There was one that talked about ant control. He was from like Texas A&M. Professors, right? One talked about reading the labels on your products regularly. This is our label right here. The label is the law, they teach us in pest control. Everything you do should be in the scope of the label. If the label doesn't say do it, don't do it. Right? There was one gentleman that shared about laws that are trying to be passed. In California, they had just passed a law that they've been pressing, the animal rights activists have been pressing, and liberal people have been pressing for like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years to pass a law that pest control companies can no longer use bait for rats and mice, and they got it passed. So, you know, you're learning things. And his point was, it's coming north. What happens in California is coming north. So here's what you need to do to start connecting with your government officials and to get them informed and up to date on what's really happening and what you're using and all these, you know, so, but if I went in there with, well, I've been doing this from 04. I don't need, and there was a couple people that actually had that attitude in the audience. There always is. Oh, I'm a pest control technician. Yeah, I know you're from the University of Kansas, but what could you teach me? Right? So we come to God and we say, no matter how long I've been born again, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. Right? But I know who does. and I'm open to his teaching. That's why I emphasize broadcasts like Flashpoint, Victory Network, people that are preaching and teaching the Word of God. Part of putting God's Word first means that I am submitting myself to it regularly, hearing it preached, hearing it taught. Amen? We got to move here. Adorn me with your finest sayings. God, teach me your holy rules. My life is as close as my own hands, but I don't forget what you have revealed. Amen. So it's not just hearing it, but remembering. The one gal teaching about labels yesterday was talking about reading it and comprehending what you're reading. Amen. You don't understand every statement in this book, but the Holy Spirit helps me to get what I need to get out of it, right? The wicked do their best to throw me off track, but I don't swerve an inch from your course. I inherited your book on living. It's mine forever. What a gift. Oh, how happy it makes me. I concentrate. Somebody say concentrate. See, there is effort involved in serving the Lord, right? I concentrate on doing exactly what you say. I always have and always will. Glory to God, right? That's called putting his word first in every area of our lives. And then this is the part that the Lord adjusted this morning, and I can see why, because I've got 5 minutes. So this is a little bit shorter, but these particular passages are just powerful. And when we have these first couple things in our heart already, that we love God's word, that we're determined to put his word first and study and be listening and pressing into it, that takes us to this level right here. John 15, 7 through 10, Jesus, the living word himself, said this: if you abide in me, and my words, abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the more I spend my time with Jesus in his word, my prayers, the things I'm believing for, the desires that I have are going to be in line with his will. Therefore, you'll get answers. Right? Putting God's word first in our life brings us into alignment with his will for our life, so that when we pray, we get answers. I was at a church many years ago, and the minister there talked about, there's a scripture that says, Jesus says, you know, the people that he was rejecting, turning away at the gates of heaven, but we casted out devils in your name. We laid hands on the sick in your name. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me. So this particular minister, his take on that was, don't pray for the sick. Don't cast out devils, because that means you're lost. Well, that's not what it means at all, right? It's being in alignment with God's word, right? Being in alignment with God's word, being aware of our relationship with Jesus, being in love with Jesus, staying in love with him, staying in line with him, and doing what his word says. Does the word say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Is it my job to make them recover? That's the word doing the work, right? Does the word say we can cast? Well, that's the next point here. We'll close with this right here. Or maybe we should say we'll open with this. Because this opens it up, man. This is word first living right here. You are the sheriff in town. You're the big dog. If you're feeding on the word of God, you will be strong in the word. And you'll start living like this. Matthew 16, 19. And again, these are great chapters. So go back and read the whole thing. But Peter has just told Jesus. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commended him and said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And many have taken that and idolized Peter. where there's shrines to Peter. There's a church somewhere I heard about where they say Peter's tomb is beneath our floor. Because Jesus said, on this rock, Peter. No, Peter isn't the rock. He changed his name to the rock because his faith was rock solid. But the rock he was talking about was this revelation of how to use the name of Jesus, of who Jesus is. That's the rock that he will build his church on. See, the church isn't supposed to be wishy-washy and weak. We are the rock of God's word. Amen? And when we have that in line, then look at this, Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever, somebody say whatever, you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And he's not talking about the heaven where God resides. He's talking about the heavens where demons are trying to control cities and governments and people and families and all these kind of things. You have control. You have the right and the authority in the name and by the blood of Jesus to bind the work of the devil. Right? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen? So when we're putting God's word first in our lives, loving him, studying his word, meditating on his word, listening to good teaching and preaching, walking in praise and worship, and all of a sudden a devil pops his head up. You don't run for cover. You just point your finger at his nose. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I loosen the power of God in this place right now. And pray in the spirit about it. That's the kind of Christian the devil is terrified of. Terrified of. Amen? That's called putting God's word first in your life. But we need to know what's in the word so that we know what to bind and what to loose. If that sickness, well, God put that sickness on you, so I'm not going to bind that. Oh, no, Jesus didn't put any sickness on you. Well, God might want you poor. It's another thing from Fiddler on the Roof. Why can't you just make me a rich man? But you want me to be a poor man. Well, no, God didn't want him to be a poor man. That's tradition that taught him that, right? So when something that you know is not a part of God's promises for your life starts to try to manifest, you bind that thing in the name of Jesus Christ. And you loosen what God says to loosen, and you use the name above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called word first living. Word first living. And we don't use it on each other, right? You don't walk up to President Biden's face, I bind you, Joe. No. We bind the evil spirits that are trying to control our and operate themselves over our nation. We bind that spirit that's trying to control, you know, Vladimir Putin in the name of Jesus. The gospel has been preached there for many years. We've sowed seed there for many years. So we take authority and we bind that thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You stop your hand, devil. I mean, Christians that are praying that way and speaking God's word that way, stuff's happening in the spirit realm. Amen? Glory to God. Let's all stand up on our feet this morning, and we're just going to thank God for his word today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for your mighty words to us today. Just pray this out loud. Just say, Father God, I commit myself to be a person of your word. I will put your words first. I will put your word in my eyes. I'll put your word in my ears. I'll receive your word in my heart. And I'll speak your word out of my mouth. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. And I think of the Lord would have us close with this, actually, right? The scripture where all the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, this is awesome. We cast out devils and it works, and we're using your name and it works. And Jesus' reply to them was, hey, listen, that's great, but don't rejoice that demons are subject to you and sicknesses are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, amen. So we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you that our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life, and we want to see other people's names added to that Book of Life. So we bind the devil off our cities, off our families, off our homes, our businesses, our nation, and we loosen the will of God, the health of God, the salvation of God, the life of God, the love of God. And just like that diagram that Brother Lance was drawing, God, that there would be right people at the right time taking those hills, God, and making dramatic changes across the land, Father, in media, in government, in Hollywood, and just all across the board, the military, Jesus, nations. Thank you, God, for revival that brings an awakening, that brings a reformation to our nation, God, and the nations of the world. I believe that the rapture has to happen not to save us from the devil. The rapture has to happen so Jesus gets his church out of the devil's way for a few years, and then we come back and take the planet over. Because we are the restraining force on this planet, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll continue to stand in faith and speak your words boldly, Father God. Boldness. I loosen a holy boldness on us. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Somebody say amen.